Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Inside Scoop Live, the live audio program brought to you by ReaderViews.com. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today I have the pleasure of talking with author Ellen Feld about her popular and award-winning Morgan Horse children's book series. So a little bit about this author before we begin. Ellen Feld began writing about horses more than 20 years ago. At first, she wrote for small regional publications, but within a few short years, her work began to appear regularly in large national publications. Her articles have appeared in publications such as the Morgan Horse Magazine, Stable Management, The Horseman's Yankee Peddler, Just About Horses, Tri-State Horse, Equestrian, and the Appaloosa Journal. During a break between magazine assignments several years ago, Ellen began writing a short story about a Morgan horse. Upon completion of this story, Ellen decided to continue the adventure, and soon a full-blown book was written. This was to become the first book in the very popular Morgan Horse series. This series has gone on to win numerous national awards and sell over 50,000 copies. Ellen Feld currently lives in Massachusetts with her husband, two children, 10 horses, and assorted pets. So I'm so happy to have Ellen Feld on the phone today. Welcome to Inside Scoop Live, Ellen.
Oh, thank you so much for having me today. I'm really excited.
Great. Us too. You know, this is such an interesting book series. I want to maybe step back a little bit. You know, you obviously have a great love of horses, but I understand that you actually received your university degrees in Eastern European Studies, and then you returned to your love of horses. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
Right. I kind of came to horses roundabout. Well, I always had horses and just had them in the background. They were just a hobby. I pursued a college degree and actually went to graduate school. I had a double major of Russian language, so I was fluent in Russian.
Wow.
And also a major in Soviet and Eastern European Studies, which is studying the political systems. I went to Washington, and I got a job working in the Foreign Policy Office of Senator Kennedy. And I worked there for a while. I had job offers with the State Department and a couple of other places. And I had what looked like a very great career in the future in Russian. Unfortunately, my horses were back in Massachusetts, and I missed them terribly. So I made what seemed at the time to be a crazy career decision, and I moved back to Massachusetts without a job.
Oh, gosh.
Was that just to be with my horses?
Well, you obviously love them very much. So what? Before we go any further, you have to explain to myself, but also our listening audience today, what exactly is a Morgan horse?
A Morgan horse is a breed of horse, much like a golden retriever is a breed of dog. You have, say, golden retrievers, basset hounds, dachshunds. They're all breeds, and horses are the same way. The Morgan horse is a quarter horse, Appaloosa, all sorts of breeds. The Morgan horse is the first American Morgan, the first American breed of horse. The first horse was born in 1789, and it's really, as far as I'm aware, the only breed that can trace its roots to one horse. So all Morgan horses today trace back to Justin Morgan, the first Morgan horse. And Morgans are known as a versatile breed, meaning one horse can do a lot of different things, which is great for me because I get tired of something quickly. So I have one horse who I've ridden him English and Western. I've competed in games classes with him. I drive with him. I've gone through the center of our town and actually picked up people who are running late for the bus and, you know, just driving through the traffic with him.
On your horse?
On my horse in the buggy. Yeah, so, I mean, he can do a lot of different things. But the thing I like most about my Morgans is they have what I describe as the golden retriever personality of the horse world. I've had other breeds of horses, and when they see you coming and they're out in the pasture, if you have food, they'll come running and, you know, check out your food because they want to eat. But the Morgans, whether or not you have food, they kind of react like, oh, it's a person, they're going to pet me. And they're kind of in your face, pet me, and they just have really fun, silly personalities, which I really love.
They sound wonderful. How many do you have?
I have 10 horses. 8 of them are Morgans.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, my herd keeps growing.
So now, how did you get started in writing?
I just always liked to write. When I was in elementary school, I was always writing stories. I wrote a whole series of The Wizard of Oz Continues, and I remember writing book upon book, and granted at that time the books weren't very long, but I just always wanted to write. So I never had any formal training in writing beyond the normal college courses in writing, but I just was always writing. So it just kind of grew out of that. The magazine articles took over, and again, there was no formal training on how to write a magazine article. I guess I was just good at it, and more and more editors wanted my work, and it just kind of kept going
from there.
Yeah.
So with all that you're already involved with regarding horses, why take on writing about horses as well? It just transferred over easily?
I think so. I mean, writing is what I've always enjoyed, and the horses are what I've always enjoyed. So putting the two together just seemed natural. I never really thought about it.
Mm.
It just kind of happened. And again, the magazine articles was not something that I pursued intentionally at the beginning. At the beginning, my first articles were for a national registry for Morab horses, and it was a small registry, and as is the case with many of these clubs and organizations, they never had enough people contributing articles, so they asked me if I'd write a few articles, and I wrote them because it was fun, and then they replied saying, wow, we got great feedback on your articles. Would you please write some more?
Mm.
So it just kind of fell into place.
Mm-hmm. When did you start writing the books for the Morgan Horse series?
The first book came out in 2001, and I think it took me 3 years to write because originally I wasn't intending to write a book. It started out as a short story, and then a couple friends suggested I turn it into a book, and I kind of did it on a lark. So I wrote a few chapters, and then I put it down, and then I'd write a few more. And actually, once I finished the book, I sent it off to an agent that was the agent for a friend of mine who did not do children's books, but he said he'd take a look at it. And he said, well, it was a wonderful story, but it's much too long. So I didn't know how to correct that, so it sat for another 6 months. And then I went back to it and said, well, it's too long, I'm going to fix that. And I went back and fixed it. So it took 3 years for the first one, but once I figured that out, now I come out with a new book each year.
Every year.
Right.
Well, why don't you tell listeners today about your Morgan Horse book series, what this series is all about?
The series is about a young girl and a barn full of Morgan horses. There's several books in the series, Blackjack, Frosty, Rusty Robin, and Annie, which is coming out this fall, and they're geared towards the young adult readers, meaning those ages 8, 9 up through about 13. And last year I also introduced a new book, a hardcover for younger children, readers around 7 years old. And what I did for that one is I took one of the horse characters from the other series and made it into a talking horse and sent it on an adventure. But basically each book focuses on one different horse, and the other horses are in the book, but they're as background characters. And the girl goes on a different type of adventure in each book.
Mm-hmm.
One of them has the girl showing, and she wants to show, but she starts doubting herself, so she starts doing poorly. Another one sends the girl off. She has visions of this horse being a great show ring star and going to win a lot of blue ribbons, and it turns out the horse was trained by somebody who got the horse ring sour, so the horse is afraid of rings, and she's very disappointed, but discovers trail riding and takes up trail riding, and then goes off on a 3-day trail ride with a group and gets separated and is lost in the woods of Vermont and has to find her way out.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, each one is a different adventure.
Mm-hmm. Is it the same girl in each one, the main character?
Yeah, mm-hmm. The main character is a girl named Heather Richardson. In the fourth book, Robin, I do introduce another character by the name of Karen Green. She's a little bit younger, and she has bent to peer pressure when her horse was lame and she couldn't ride her horse, and took another horse that she knew she couldn't handle out on a ride and was injured in an accident because she couldn't handle the horse, so she's now afraid of riding. So there are other characters. There's a boy character, Nicholas, that I introduce in the third book, Rusty, and he becomes a main character. And there's two other main characters, Laura, whose father owns the farm, and Chauncey, who is the actual farm owner, who is a mentor to Heather, but he tends to stay in the background and will offer some sort of fatherly advice here and there, but I don't want him to become the main character because I think kids can associate better with another character their age.
Mm-hmm. Now, was it Shadow, the book Shadow, that was for the younger, the 7-year-old?
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, what do you think it is that children find so captivating with horses? And, you know, you've chosen a girl for your main characters. And, you know, girls are typically, young girls are very fascinated with horses. What do you think that is?
It's really hard to pinpoint. I've been asked that before. I think there's just something magical about them. They're this powerful, powerful, noble creature, and yet they can be so gentle with the youngest of children. And I know so many little girls who share their innermost secrets with a horse because the horse doesn't tell the parents and doesn't talk back, but yet they can ride this animal and go through a field and experience all this power. And it's an amazing thing to sit on the back of a horse and have it running through a field much faster than you can go, and yet you can get somewhere and then climb off and talk to the horse, and he'll nuzzle you and blow on you and tickle you with his nose. So it's just a wonderful combination. And I think girls, perhaps, if they're confused with what's going on in the world around them, there's this one creature that's willing to listen to them.
Mm, they can be very, very gentle animals.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've read that your stories in this series are all noted for their realistic portrayal of horses.
Right.
And the experiences of young riders. So where do your ideas come from, first off? And then talk a little bit towards the realism that you bring to these stories. Like, these aren't just far out there stories. There is really a level of realism that you bring, and how important that is to you.
Exactly. That's very important to me. There are so many horse stories out there where, I mean, it's not an exaggeration to say girl rescues abandoned, abused horse and then wins the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
There are books out there like that, and I just think that's silly. That's not the real world.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very important for me to make these books realistic. Now, that's not to say they're boring, because there are quite wonderful adventures going on in these books, but there are things that the horses really would do. I don't want to turn these horses into people and act and think like people. They act and think like real horses. It's very important to me. I have a veterinarian consultant who reviews all the medical texts. I have a medical doctor who reviews all the human medical texts of, say, if the girl gets hurt, such as the one who falls off the horse and has a riding accident. I don't want her getting really hurt and then 2 days later she's up and around and bouncing around and riding a horse if that's not what's really going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So those things are very important to me. As for where the ideas come from, most of them come from my own experiences or those of friends. I wrap the horse characters in the real horses. Each of the main characters, horse-wise, are real horses that I own. There is a real Blackjack, a real Frosty, a real Rusty.
Mm-hmm.
So although the books, the stories themselves are fiction, the characters are based on the real horse characters. So all their little quirks and silly behaviors and whatnot are wrapped into the stories, such as the real Rusty, when it's dinner time, he lifts one leg up and paws at the air. He never puts it down to the ground. At the same time, he contorts his neck and head and curls his lip up into the air. And it's a very funny thing, but it's what the real horse does when it's feeding time. So in the book, that's what that horse character does. So I make a lot of realistic things like that, and the horse characters act like horses. Now, some of the other things that happen, say, where the girl goes on the trail ride in Vermont and gets lost, I fortunately never had that happen. However, I have a lot of horse friends, so I was trying to find a way to have that happen, and one of my friends volunteered, I got lost once. And I said, well, how did you do it? She said, well, we went riding in the morning, and it was very, very foggy, and I saw this deer, and it was very interesting, so I tried to follow it. And next thing I knew, I was separated from the group.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the girl in the book gets lost.
Mm.
She's out in the fog in the early morning and finds a deer and tries to follow it. So everything's very realistic, and the ideas come from real life, either from myself or friends. You know, that there are certain things that haven't happened, such as in one of the books, Rusty, it's about jumping competitions, and I don't do jumpers, but I was able to get somebody, an Olympic rider who's very well known, to consult on the book. So he read all the text to make sure it was accurate, that I wasn't creating anything that would not happen.
Mm-hmm.
So,
interesting. So what are children's responses to this level of realism?
Oh, it's been fabulous. I think they really appreciate it, and it's talking at their level, but yet not sort of making fun of them and what they know to be true, and having horses do silly things like jump over cliffs to rescue the fair maiden or you know, those sort of things. The first two books in the series have won national book awards from the International Reading Association called Children's Choices.
Yes.
That award is given by... it's co-sponsored by the International Reading Association and the Children's Book Council, and what they do is they have 10,000 children from around the country vote on their favorite books. So it's the kids choosing their favorite books, and they voted two of my books as winners, which is a huge, huge honor.
That is an unbelievable honor.
Yeah.
Now, were those, I think that you had a few other awards that you were up for?
Mm-hmm. Both Rusty and Robin have won the Adding Wisdom Award from a group called Parent to Parent.
Mm-hmm.
It's an organization dedicated to recognizing excellence in children's products, meaning child-friendly products. That it's not just books, but all sorts of products. So it has to go through, you know, there's a rigid selection process before they will award any product. Also, all the books have been accepted by the United States Pony Clubs, which is a huge honor because the only books they accept are books that have to go through, again, a very rigid selection process. They have a whole selection committee that reviews each book, and they will only accept books that meet their rigid standards. So to be accepted by them is, again, a very big honor.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So now these books, though, they aren't just for kids that are very... very into horses. These are for the broad spectrum.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. The Children's Choices Award that they won, the kids that were reading them were not horse kids per se. They were just groups of children at five different locations around the country. So it wasn't like hand-picked horse kids.
Mm-hmm.
It was boys and girls at different schools who just, what they would do is they would put the nominated books out on a table. The kids weren't even told they had to read all the books. They were told, pick up whatever looks interesting and tell us what you think.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been greatly accepted by kids that aren't just horse crazy. And also, I actually, interestingly enough, have quite a few faithful adult readers because of the unusual veterinary information and whatnot. I've even had a lot of vets read the books. And one of the books, Blackjack gets ill with some very strange neurological symptoms, and it's a subplot in the book, and it was what happened to the real Blackjack, and it was a very unusual case. Now, granted, I write it at a level that a child can understand because they don't want to read all this terminology that's going to float over their heads and whatnot. So it's very interesting for the kids to try to solve the mystery of what's wrong with the horse,
mm-hmm.
but also a lot of adults to see the symptoms and, you know, what this could be. So there are a lot of different groups that read the stories, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, you know, Ellen, I've heard that when writing a children's book, an author will typically aim for either educational themes or themes that teach moral values. And I just
mm-hmm.
wanted to know if you would agree with that and how those that kind of thought influenced your books and your writing.
That's a good point. I would say, I mean, I have no formal training as a children's author. It just sort of fell into place. But
mm-hmm.
I would say most of my books have both in them.
Mm-hmm.
And it just is the way that I write. Again, the educational theme there, because there's a lot of knowledge imparted about horse care, how you do the day-to-day stuff and all the work that horses entail and all the wonderful things that they bring, but also like the giving into the peer pressure where the girl got hurt, or
mm-hmm.
in my latest book, the main character, Heather, falls in love with a new horse that Chauncey's bought, but he can't get her registration paper, so he is thinking about returning the horse, or selling the horse, I should say, and she finds out where the horse truly belongs, and she doesn't want to tell Chauncey because she's afraid of what will happen to the horse. So she gets caught in the lie, which keeps growing and growing. So how do you deal with this lie and what it can happen to, what can happen because of it, and that sort of thing. So I do use both of those things in almost all of my books.
That's great. Just
so I'd
by
say yes.
The default.
Yeah.
Wonderful. How long are your books? Besides Shadow, which is for the younger reader.
Right. Shadow's a 32-page hardcover picture book short story. The other ones, they vary. They're between 199 and like 215 pages, but the text is a larger text made for children. So it may sound longer than they actually are. You know, they each have about 7 pictures per book, and then the larger text. So they're what are known by the kids as chapter books,
mm-hmm.
and they vary from, say, 10 to 14 chapters per book.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you used the same illustrator for all of your books consistently?
Yes, I'm very lucky to have Jean Mellon. She's very well known in the horse world, particularly the Morgan world. She's kind of the queen of the Morgan world. She actually drew... Each registry of each breed of horse has what they call the standard or the ideal picture of the breed's mare and stallion, and it's you know, this coveted picture that everyone aims to breed towards. And she's the one that has done the drawings for the Morgan breed,
wow.
which in itself is a huge honor. But she's very, very well known within the equine world,
mm-hmm.
And she has undertaken each project of mine with a great sense of humor and. She does a lot of portraits, horse portraits and whatnot, and then I have her drawing pictures of horses getting sprayed by skunks and all sorts of different things. So she really likes the challenge and the different nature of my pictures, and it's been a lot of fun.
Oh, I bet it has been. Now, do you write and then send her the text and she will come up with? How do you collaborate?
Right. Yeah, it's very informal.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of pick what I want for the cover. And then I just call and we discuss it, and she will send me a draft, and then I'll call her back and say, yeah, I like that, but can you change this or make this a little more or whatever? And then when I'm doing the internal pictures, I don't send her the entire text for the whole book, but say 2 pages around where that text is going, and because now she knows the main characters, so she knows how to draw those people, and I'll say what's happening in that specific picture and whether it's morning or afternoon, what time of the year it is, so she'll get the clothing correct, and then what's happening, and she'll do drafts and then send them to me, and
mm-hmm.
then we'll discuss them again, and then she'll do the final drawing.
Mm-hmm. How fun to see it all come together in the
yeah,
end.
Yeah, it's very neat. It's very neat.
Now, I understand that your new book in this series is coming out this fall.
Mm-hmm.
Annie?
Yes, Annie the Mysterious Morgan Horse.
Can you tell us a little bit about this book?
Sure. That's the one I had mentioned where Chauncey, the mentor, the owner of the farm, purchases a horse that he thinks is a Morgan, but he doesn't have her registration papers, which are the papers that go with every purebred animal and makes the babies of that animal more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to try to track them down, but has told Heather that if he can't track them down, he will have to sell her. And, of course, Heather goes and gets very attached to the horse, and then she finds out from a friend at a horse show who Annie actually is, and she hides that from Chauncey because of the fear that the horse will wind up going back to a cruel trainer that has abused the horse in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't know what to do, and it just events spiral out of control and get worse and worse.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's got all the other main characters from the other books, so it's horse and human.
Oh, okay. What was the last book that you released?
The last one was Shadow.
Shadow,
the hardcover.
Okay. Interesting. So what, Ellen, what is your involvement at this point with horses? I know that you have 10 horses at home, but what does your day look like in regards to your horses?
Well, I have a full-time job.
Okay.
Outside. I work at a college full-time. I still do all the magazine writing. In fact, I just finished up an article today. And granted, some of those can be a little bit dry or quite different from my stories, such as the one today, even though it's August, I'm writing about dealing with ice around the barn.
Oh, wow.
I know. Lead time with magazines can be several months.
Mm-hmm.
So this is for a early winter issue of a magazine. So I still do the magazine writing. And I'm overseeing the production of Annie. It just went off to the printer last week. So that's exciting. And then by the time I'm finished with everything, it's usually 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, that's a long day.
Yeah, but it's fun. I mean, after work, I go and I play with the horses. And my children are both, I have two children, they're both involved with the horses. And both of them ride and take lessons. And my daughter, I have a 15-year-old daughter, and she competes on the national level with her Morgan. So she's very involved with them.
Hmm.
So it keeps us very busy.
Horse family.
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
And it's a great way to spend time with the kids, too, because when we're just out at the barn doing chores and whatnot, it's a time where they really open up and we'll talk about things, what
mm-hmm.
things that are going on in their life and whatnot, if we're at the barn or doing horse chores or out on a trail ride.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great time. It's a great bonding time for us there, even when we're going for riding lessons. I take lessons with them, too, just so we can all do it together, and then we'll have lunch afterwards, and we'll compare notes on our lessons, and it's a lot of fun.
You know, I've heard that about horses and just being around horses. You know, there's just something about the nature of it that kind of inspires
mm-hmm.
that kind of bonding experience.
Sure.
And, you know, I mean, horses are used in equine therapy and in all sorts of
right.
different levels. So
uh-huh.
there's something very special of the relationship between humans and horses.
Mm-hmm.
There really
Definitely.
Is. So that's great to hear. Now, how have you found the process of self-publishing? And do you have, through your five books here, do you have any advice for authors coming up?
I love self-publishing. Mm. It's been a fabulous experience. If I knew of all the work involved when I first started, it might have scared me away. But it is a lot of work, but the rewards are tremendous. At this point, I would be very hard-pressed to get a publisher because I'm having so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
The main advice I would give anyone who's considering self-publishing is the actual art of producing a book and getting it printed is not hard. It's been made fairly easy with all the technology today.
Mm-hmm.
The hard part and the place where most people fail is in the marketing of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Think about your marketing before you send it off to the printer. The average self-published book sells, I think it's 60 to 100 copies total, and that's figured with mostly sales going mostly to family and friends. Now, I'm approaching 50,000. I might have gone over it by now. I've lost track. But there are a lot of things you need to do with marketing. Just consider anyone can get their book listed on Amazon.com, but there are 3 million books there. How are people going to find your book? And why are they going to buy your book by an unknown author over somebody else's book who has a large publishing house behind them to market it? So you have to think those things out before you spend all the money self-publishing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do it right, it can be very profitable and, more importantly, a lot of fun.
A lot more fun, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, you obviously know what you're talking about because you have sold an incredibly impressive
mm-hmm.
amount of books with that 50,000 for a self-publisher. And I think you're right. A lot of authors get very disillusioned with that when they put their book out and they don't really realize how much footwork is really involved
mm-hmm.
to sell it.
You have to like meeting people. You can't be shy. You have to go to people and, you know, tell them what a great book you have. And you can't go meekly saying, would you take a look at my book?
Mm-hmm.
You have to stand behind your book and know that it's the best book out there.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a lot of fun if you can do it.
Now, I've heard that you also do talks at schools.
Uh-huh. I love going to schools and talking with kids. It's a lot of fun. What I do, it's very fun watching, especially the expressions of boys, because they're going, oh, it's horse books. It's
oh, no.
Stuff. And what I do is when I give the talk, I spend some of the talk talking about the art of writing and what I do, but I also bring in a lot of horse things and have the kids try to guess what this is and what that
oh.
is. And the boys really perk up, and, like, I bring a couple different whips in. There's the whip you might use when you're riding in a saddle, and then there's what's called a lunge whip, which is much longer.
Mm-hmm.
For another, it's for a training area where you work horses, and try to have them figure out why I would have two whips of such different sizes, and then they get all excited about that, and then you have to explain, well, now you don't use the whip really to whip the horse. That's not what it's for. It's to gently guide them, and you know, you just touch them with it. And so it's a lot of fun. They really like it, and then they get to touch and feel everything.
Mm.
And it's a lot of fun, and then some of them will start sharing stories they've written, and it's so cute, and the time just goes by really fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. It's interesting, the difference between the boys and the girls.
Yeah, oh, definitely,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I know that Annie is coming out
mm-hmm.
in the fall. What's next for you? I've heard whispers of a historical novel.
Yep, that is my next undertaking. I have two books in the works, and it's going to be a little while because there's going to be a lot of research involved. I'm planning on doing another hardcover for even younger children, say 6 years old, talking about taking one historical event out of Justin Morgan's life, the first Morgan horse, about a big race that he was in, racing against two thoroughbreds from New York. I'm going to make that into a picture book. But I'm also, more importantly, going to do a book on Figure, which is the actual name of the horse Justin Morgan. He was originally called Figure, and he got the name Justin Morgan because the man who owned him was named Justin Morgan. So people started referring to Figure as Justin Morgan's horse and then just Justin Morgan.
Mm.
But anyway, a historical novel. Now, there was one written many years ago called Justin Morgan Had a Horse. That's more a work of fiction than nonfiction. There's been a lot of things added to that, characters that weren't real and events that weren't real. What I want to do is make this as accurate as possible. A lot has been discovered in the 40 or 50 years since that book was written. And I've got a lot of Morgan historians that are eagerly waiting to help me.
Mm.
I'm supposed to be traveling next month up to the farm where Justin Morgan is actually buried.
Oh, wow.
Where
is that?
It's up in Vermont.
Okay.
And it's not open to the public,
mm-hmm.
but a friend of a friend
mm-hmm.
spoke to the owner, and she's very interested in having me come up and look. And I've got a contact for a great-granddaughter of Justin Morgan's, or I think it's actually a great-great-granddaughter of Justin Morgan's who has some memorabilia to share with me and all sorts of things. So it should be quite an adventure doing the research, and I'm looking forward to it.
That will be a very, very much of an adventure. What year are we talking about? What's the time of
this? Probably 2009. I don't think it's going to be out in time for next year
mm-hmm.
because I don't want to rush it. I want to make sure it's very accurate. So I'm going to take my time on it. I might, in the meantime, come out with the hardcover book. That's more an issue of getting the pictures done for that. The story won't take that much research to write because the research is already there. So
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure which one I'm going to do first. Once Annie is out, then I can refocus my attention
mm-hmm.
to writing the next book.
Yes. You have a busy schedule, Ellen.
Yeah.
So how can readers purchase your books and find out more about you? What's your website?
The website is it's www.willowbend, B-E-N-D as in dog, publishing.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a link there on how to order, and if you go to that link, it shows all the different places that the books are sold. They're sold through Amazon, of course. The American Morgan Horse Association sells them. The United States Pony Club sells them. They're in several different catalogs, gift catalogs, and all the links are right there on the website.
Great. Can they be ordered through local bookstores?
They can be ordered through any bookstore. They're in the database that bookstores look up books in. It depends on the bookstore's policy about special ordering. I know a lot of Barnes & Nobles and Borders and whatnot will special order books, and those that will have no trouble getting them.
Okay, great. Well, it's been so fun talking with you today, Ellen. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you so much. I had so much fun. I love to talk books.
Yeah. Do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share with listeners today?
I just would want to say that, you know, just keep your kids reading whatever they want to read. If you have a boy that's into cars, encourage him to read about cars, even if it's just a magazine, because especially with boys, it's so hard to get them to read. Any sort of reading helps. And just find out what they like and encourage them to read about it, and then have them write stories. It's so much fun to get writing about what you like. Sometimes it's hard in school because you have to write about something that you're really not interested in. But if you get the opportunity to write, say, about your dog or your cat or a horse and send them on an imaginary journey, it can be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Great final thoughts.
No, thank you.
Thank you so much, Ellen. Appreciate
okay.
the interview today. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, listeners, there you go. I've been talking to Ellen Fell. The book series, the Morgan Horse book series, is available on her website, as mentioned. That is willowbendpublishing.com, also through local and online booksellers. As well, for more on Ellen and her books, you can go to readerviews.com and find a few book reviews as well as an online interview. So thanks so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this interview today. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.